So it's intriguing, no? It's might make practice really alive to see how is that functioning? What exactly happened? Is that a choice or not, or when, or what triggers what, or conditions what? So it's good to look at it. And you know, with the question, are we deciding who's the we anyway? You know, like really, who's meditating? Who's hearing? Who's feeling? You know, there is feeling, there is hearing. But who really? Like, can we? That's the question of the Buddha, no? So it's a rich field. So, just a few words that, a few ideas that crossed my mind, this mind. So maybe you're experiencing a lot today or yesterday of what we call the first insight, the insight into the scatteredness of the mind or how it's not that controllable, you know? So if you keep noticing that you're gone, ideas takes over, or you know, created worlds of past or future. If it happens, don't get discouraged. That's actually a very good insight to notice how the mind gets entranced or fascinated. In many ways, it's actually good to notice that. Otherwise, we just don't know that, right? I think Bhante Gunaratana describes this first insight into use the images. He said it's like if you're in a telephone booth that is on wheels going down a hill and you're stuck in that telephone booth with a crazy person. And sometimes the first insight is a little bit like this. And so if you're seeing this, that looks like bad news, but it's actually good to be aware of that. That this was happening all along. So that's one thing. And another thing is a different thought altogether is, so I think this being's intelligence or sensitivity or I want to talk in terms of cognitive diversity. So this being is intelligent, is very kinesthetic. It happens like this. It's that type of person or personality. So the teaching then is might reflect that some amount, you know. So I talk a lot about sensory awareness of the senses, because that's probably how I encounter the world, you know. It might not be your experience exactly. It's certainly a valid door, but it might, for you, for some reason, it might be harder. So there's other ways to practice. This is one of the valid ways to practice through awareness of body. And again, when I say body, for me, it points to also the senses. So, you know, seeing is a bodily experience, is a physical experience, hearing also. So if for a reason or another you don't feel like you have access to the body, that it's because of trauma, because of your sensitivity is different, you know that it's actually your experience is it's valid also, and that might not be your main doorway, but you might feel that there is a doorway in there for you. You might not be able to go, or it might be too threatening to go in the belly, to bring the attention in the belly, but it might be possible to actually again look at the trees and the wind in the trees, you know, and that is a physical experience. You're actually in the physical realm, you know, hearing, or you know, you might have your own way. One of my dear fellow practitioners that I talked to says that she couldn't access the body for many years, maybe more than a decade of practice, that it was too threatening, didn't want to go there, was not possible to go there, but she could be with the breath, which to me was very interesting, because to me the breath is really much the body, but I know that inner cognition, inner world, these were different things, you know, and it was very important to respect that. And, you know, somebody else was telling me that they could not go inside the body, but they could feel the touch of the socks on the toes, you know, the touch of the clothing on the skin. So we might have different ways, and it might altogether not be a door that is going to be one that you're going to go through for, opening the heart clarifying misunderstandings about life. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Steve Armstrong is going to come here to teach in a few months. I'm just saying this because I know that Steve has practiced a lot with Utejaniya, and those of you who know the practice of Utejaniya, who's very much like the teacher of my teachers these days, Utejaniya is not so interested in the body, if I don't want to misrepresent this dear teacher's teaching, but he's really interested in the mind. What is the mind up to? Is the mind reacting, wanting something else? Is the mind, wanting to get rid of something? What is the mind that is meditating? So that you have your attention on the breath, on the feet, that's pretty relevant to him, I think. So I'm going really quickly. Like, I don't want to represent his teaching, but I know that his focus is around the quality of the mind. How's the mind that is there? How's that mind? Is that mind open, peaceful, or is that mind reactive in a non-judgmental way again, but just in a factual way? Oh, the mind is tight, holding on, wanting more, wanting to get rid of, or non-reactive. And I think in a way he's totally right, because clinging is a mental activity, you know, and that's the source of our suffering. And so I'm suggesting a way to practice this weekend. It might have something in there for you, or it might turn out that not so much. Okay. So you're curious about my thoughts around this, or okay. So just in case you didn't hear, so this person experiences falling asleep often. So standing up is helpful, and returning to the breath is helpful. But now they're discovering another kind of field of experience, which is a little bit maybe trance-like or absorption-like, where the mind gets maybe very, very quiet. It feels really good, but this person is not sure that it doesn't feel like it's a great place to hang out and ultimately of great benefit. So a few thoughts on this. So just from the few words you're saying, and I might not recognize exactly what you're saying, but my sense is that you might be actually in the field of what we call concentration practice. It might be in the field of what I just called before the sitting, samatha, where the mind is not so much investigative. It's not that kind of like bright, alive, curious. It's resting in, sometimes it's resting in the breath. You know, that's a classic resting place, resting in the movements of the breath. It's not like noticing clearly the breath in terms of like, wow, it's chaotic or deep or shallow. It's just like hanging out there, you know, like resting there. And you, one can have this with the breath, but it can have this with also states of mind. So a state of mind of quietness that one would just not like really feel and could be curious how quietness feels. Oh, it's this joyful quietness. Oh, it's a spacious quietness. It's just quiet. And the mind is not that intelligent, right? It's just resting. This can be very refreshing. It can refresh the mind, and then one can come out maybe and then apply a more of an investigative, curious mind to it. So it could be useful in a certain way, but it's also described that wisdom is not developed in this state. Yeah. So you might recognize this and say, "Oh, actually, it's what it can do. Maybe for me is limited, but maybe there's something good it can do for you." You know, but it cannot develop wisdom because there's not that factor of vivacité or intelligence that is really alive, you know. And so you might spend some time there or decide to not go there or decide, oh, it's actually refreshing because when I come out of this, then it's easier to practice, you know. And so that might be useful in this way. It's a limited use in or what it gives is something precise, and you might decide to explore this further for yourself, and or not. You know.
That's wonderful for me to hear because I'm hearing that the benefit of that place, the rest, that resonates with me very much. I do know it's not a place of wakefulness for me.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we're feeling some hunger, maybe not, but it's that time. So it's 12:20, and if at 1:20 we're all sitting here together, that would be great. And I wonder if somebody this afternoon would be willing to ring the bell a few times, and one of these bells could be a few minutes before 1:20. Yeah? That's generous. So a little bit before 1:20? 5, maybe 10 minutes before? 5, 10 minutes before? 7 minutes before? yes, exactly. Everywhere 1:13. Okay. In silence. And one thing that can happen in the mealtime is that suddenly we leak a lot, you know? We've been gathering the mind, building some energy in this way, and suddenly we can get all like that, you know, and leak everything. I had the teacher would say that, I watch you guys at lunch, you're leaking like crazy, you know, and then you have to start over. So if you're interested in that, just see how can I actually preserve, continue cultivating something that I feel like I'm developing here during that hour so that when I sit, I'm just continuing again, you know. If that's of interest to you. Okay, bon appétit.